Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked with Mark Fielding.
Hello, welcome to series 5, episode 12 of Hashtag psychotherapy unfucked. As you know, I'm Mark Fielding, psychotherapist and relationship counsellor and your host. Today, I have the absolute pleasure to welcome back friend of the show, Giovanna Hammond. Regular listeners will remember Giovanna kindly came on, I think, in series 4, and we talked about critical incidents, mental health films and more. Today, we're going to talk about Giovanna's latest project, a film, Mask of Darkness. We have two members of the cast on, Rod and Dan. Yep. Thank you all so much for coming on. I always kind of kick off the show really by asking our guests what attracted them to the field, but that's not really applicable here. So could I just maybe start off just by asking, you know, asking Rod and Dan, what attracted you to being on the film?
Yeah, you go first, Rod, if you want.
Okay, sure. First of all, I met Giovanna through doing a program. We started chatting because she liked the fact that I do mime. I'm a full-time mime artist. And she approached me for this film she was making. And she said, it's about like mental health. And I said, what, the mime is going crazy? What's going on here? And she explained to me in the whole backstory and the more about, you know, what's it about, mental health and depression. And then she mentioned Steve, which we'll talk about a bit more. And then they basically said, yes, I'll do it. I'll do the film. But we started sussing out what the mime was in relation to the main lead. And then we started working on that. And then, yeah, finally it came together and it was a pleasure working with in her film and with Dan playing Andrew. It was like a really wonderful film. And when we saw it at the preview, at the screening, it really touched a lot of people. And Steve's family were there too. And they obviously were quite nice with a nice tribute. But yeah, what attracted me about it, because people tend to say, you know, mime, maybe a bit romantic, a bit comedy. But when I explained to people about what's the actual stories about and what attracted to me about, it was that that human touch between the mime and the lead character. I don't want to give much away. Giovanna wants to talk about the film's about, you know, I don't want to kill it.
Yeah.
But
of course. Yeah, I mean, and just to say, we'll come back to this. I mean, I thought the scene where there's the push and pull around life and death and the mime, I just thought that was incredibly powerful. I mean, I've watched the film a number of times. You know, I loved it. I mean, before I come to Giovanna and ask, you know, more information about the film, can I just ask you the same question, Dan? I mean, what attracted you to being in the film? Yeah.
Yeah, so I remember vividly, it was 2020 and we were in the midst of COVID and the lockdowns were pretty serious here in Melbourne. And I do a live video every Friday and it's sort of like, you know, to pep people up and positive thinking and stuff. And I remember it was quite a shock to me that I learned that our friend Steve had actually committed suicide. And I was mentioning it in this live and I'd actually formally made a film in an improvised web series I have about my nan when I lost her. And it was, you know, just old age and stuff. And I was talking to G about how powerful it was to use our medium as a way to try and move past the grief. And this was back in 2020. And, I'd worked with Steve on a feature film and that, and he's just such a beautiful human being. And then it's sort of like, you know, life ran its course for a while. It was always in the back of G's and our mind, but you know, we got interested in other things and life got in the way. And then G revisited the idea after I finished my feature, which G was a massive part of, and approached me to play Steve, which was very humbling because, you know, when you know someone personally, obviously, and and you're trying to portray that, it's obviously you have to bring the very best of yourself to try and portray them. And because I loved Steve O'Hardy, I only met him a handful of times. He, like I said, just a beautiful human. And so I really wanted to do the film justice. It was an honor to be asked to play him by G. And yeah, I was never saying anything but hell yes to giving him the send off and the thing that he deserved, especially as a lover of film himself, Steve.
Yeah. And thank you, Dan. I mean, let me just ask you, Jevon, can you tell our listeners about the film, why you made it?
Yeah, sure. It's a bit of a story. So, you know, Steve was my director of photography for Locked In Productions, and he literally, he filmed every single thing I have ever made. So we did almost 200 episodes of The Travel Counselor, which aired on community TV. We did two full feature movies, and we were preparing to do the third full feature movie. But as Dan said, then we had very serious lockdowns here in Victoria. We had six lockdowns, which equaled to almost 2 years of being on house arrest. Basically, that's what we how we all felt it. You know, the restrictions just got stricter and stricter. We had to be home by 9 o'clock p.m. We weren't allowed to be more than 5 kilometers away from home. You know, we couldn't even walk as a family. If you're a family of four, you had to split up and walk in as a family of two. Like, it just got so ridiculous. And you know, we were okay. We had other people in our houses. We had the craziness still of the family, but Steve was alone. So he literally was alone for the whole of the lockdowns, apart from a few phone calls that, you know, we had, but we were an hour away, you know. So anyway, obviously they got a bit, it just got a bit too much for him. Yeah. And he rang me up 3 weeks before he ended his life. And he just kind of, now that I look back, I realize it was his send-off. I just didn't see it at the time. I had no, I just, it just didn't click. My mental health hat was not on at all. And I just took him for face value, you know. He kind of told me how much he loved, you know, being part of Locked In Productions and how he loved, you know, filming and working with me. He told me, you know, what he thought of me as a person, and it was very heartwarming. I'm like, oh, he's in a really beautiful sentimental mood, you know. Oh, thanks, Steve, you know, that's really beautiful for you to say. Likewise, blah, blah, blah. And he was, we were just talking, you know, for a good 3 hours. And then he said to me, you know, remember that scene that we had where I was looking at the rope? Because he did a little acting thing for me in one of the shows where he looked at a rope and he was going to, the character was going to end his life. But a little girl skipped along and saw him holding a rope and then and said, oh, I can skip as well. And the little girl innocently thought the rope was a skipping rope. Yeah. So it was just like, you know, it was just a scene. And he started talking very deeply about this scene. And he said to me, you know, I've been in those moments where I've thought about killing my life, or killing myself and ending my life. And he said, and I said, oh, have you? And it took me by surprise, because if you worked with him, you would never see that at all. And he said, oh, yeah, I've had those thoughts my whole life, you know. And it's, you know, oh, he goes, I'd never do anything like that. But yeah, I've always had those thoughts. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, you know, I started worrying a bit, and I'm like, oh, hang on. Okay. So where are you at now? He goes, no, don't start worrying, G. Don't start worrying. I'm not going to do anything silly. I've got three kids. I've got a trip planned with my sister next year. I'm not going to do anything like that. I just wanted to let you know that the work that you do is saving lives. And I'm like, oh, I saw the how we tied it together. My mind just totally went away from, you know, suicide or, you know, I was in lockdown mode. I wasn't in work mode. So anyway, he said his final words to me, which I won't tell you what they are yet. And then we hung up, and I thought, oh, that was a really beautiful conversation, you know. Anyway, then I heard 3 weeks later that, you know, I got a call that he ended his life, and I was absolutely devastated. I cannot even tell you the devastation. I had never experienced anything like that. I've experienced death, but I've never experienced anybody ending their lives. And I said, that's it. I'm never making another movie ever again. I don't want to hear about making a movie. I don't want to think about it. I don't want anyone to, that's it, I'm done. I'm actually done. Because if my own DOP could end his life and he filmed everything, who's listening? No one's listening. This is a waste of time, you know? So I started thinking maybe the work I do is even a waste of time. And I just got so devastated and it was part of my grieving process, right? So a couple of years went by and I had not touched a camera. I'm like, no way, not doing it, not doing it, not doing it. And then the end of last year, I actually had a dream about Steve, and it was very vivid. And he did not give me any eye contact at all. And in my dream, I was really angry at him, which I'm not in real life, but in my dream I was. And I'm like, see, Steve, if you were still alive, you'd be filming this right now. But no, you're not here, so now you can't film it. And when I woke, and he didn't look at me, but he waved his arms. He's like, I'm sorry, G, I wasn't thinking, I wasn't thinking. And then I made myself wake up, and I was actually really upset at myself for being angry at him in my dream. So I went through my own grieving thing again, you know. And then the next, like, as the morning went by, I'm like, what was the purpose of that dream? Why didn't he give me any messages? Like, what was the purpose of it? And then bang, it just hit me so hard. His final words to me, which, Mark, you watched the movie, they were right at the end of the movie. I don't know if I should mention it or not. Or maybe I should say it. What do you reckon, boys? Should I say what the words
I think you
were, or should I
should.
just make
Yeah, they're
I think
very
you should.
powerful.
Okay. His final words to me were, G, don't ever stop making movies on mental health. And they were his final words to me. And with all my grief, I completely forgot that I forgot that he said that to me because I was grieving and so angry. So, and then a split second later, Mask of Darkness was born. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I know what I could do. I can do how, you know, people wear different masks, you know, if they've got mental health issues. Sometimes people that act all happy in they've got a mask for public. But then they've also got a mask when they're alone. And this movie will very, very strongly show you the difference between when a person is in public and how amazing, happy, and how they're always laughing and, you know, awesome. And then when they're alone, it's a completely different story. And that's what Mask of Darkness is about.
Yeah, and I think the film really portrays that. I mean, the use of the change of music, the use of black and white, to show the unmasking, I thought was really, really powerful. And then the music around, the everyday life, which is kind of happy music. And it is, masking is such an important subject, I think, to cover. I mean, let me just ask you, Dan, I mean, what was it like? Tell our listeners what was it like to play the part, and maybe say a little bit about your part.
Of course. The thing that makes it it's always challenging sort of tapping into that. It's easy for me to tap into the positive energy, obviously, but I mean, it's always difficult tapping into the negative and tough energy because it's real. I mean, it's in real life. Life's a roller coaster. You've got your good days, your
It
bad
is.
days, and a lot of the times we put on a brave face. And like G said, with the message of the film, these masks of happiness and positivity when we're feeling pretty dark inside. And so I tapped into a lot of these very same emotions as shown in the film, just because, I believe each and every person listening to this and in the world has those up and down moments. And
Definitely.
sometimes we can pretend to be a lot better than we really are inside, and we don't admit it. And when you do that too long, it can lead to some, disastrous results. So it was, it's kind of a mixture of a very difficult role to play, particularly because it's close to home, because I knew Steve personally. And so it was a lot harder to tap into that. I'm playing, myself with these emotions when I knew Steve personally. So I wanted to sort of, in a way, embody Steve and how he would have felt at the time. So I was thinking of that. And that's obviously quite tough to do. So there was that layer of trying to find that emotion where you're struggling in life and tap into that and putting on a brave face. And then there was another layer added onto it. And I'm sure many actors that sort of do an autobiography, essentially, like on based on a real person, there's that extra layer where you actually, this person, this is a real story that, it's close to something that really happened. And so there was that element too. So I really, it was a difficult process, but we did keep it fun and light and enjoyable to be around each other and the beautiful, energy of G and working with G. And I met Rod for the first time on this film, which was phenomenal. I love the metaphor of the mime artist that
Yeah,
was,
me too.
that throughout the film. I thought that was really powerful. So it was really a great collaboration of a project. So it was easy to take your A game when you're surrounded by such talent and lovely people too.
And beautifully portrayed. I mean, the kind of juxtaposition of, looking happy with being with the family and then the real feelings. I think there was a scene for me where you're sitting on the bed, I think, and you go upstairs, and goodness me, it's really, really powerful. And then you have to click into having the mask. I mean, just before I kind of asked some questions to Rod, I mean, with the link to Steve, I mean, what was it like for you then to be, effectively, playing Steve and tapping into the emotions perhaps that he was feeling, before he took his own life? I mean, how was that emotionally for you?
Emotionally, it was quite tough. I don't think I've ever played a role, where like I said, I played that, I played myself in the scene I did in my series long ago where I was acting, playing my, talking to my nan, which was a rendition of the last time I ever saw her. So there was that, but this was quite different because it was reflecting, someone else's life and a true event that, obviously it's based, but this is kind of like very close to what he would have been going through. So it was a different kind of energy rather than playing a fictional character. And so there was that element of it was funny. It was because it was an element of difficulty playing it, but also an element of beauty and honor to be playing, someone that was just so special to us. So it was a very different feeling, Mark, I'd say, to what I've ever played before.
You did an amazing job, Dan. Such an and a lot of audience members really felt you. They felt you because
I
I've
did.
had at the we had a red carpet event, and that scene where Dan comes up the stairs for the first time, he was walking up the stairs and it's all colorful, it's all happy, and then it slowly turns to black and white and he just completely changes. Well, do you know that people, Dan, actually came up to me after the premiere and said, you know that scene where the guy comes up the stairs and he suddenly goes really, like he changes? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I felt so heavy and I just felt that feeling again that I often get. And, people actually said to me, finally, a movie that shows people how I feel. This guy said, thank you for seeing me. I've been trying to explain to my family how I feel, and they've never understood. Now I can show them this movie, and that's exactly what I feel like. So, Dan, you really did an amazing job portraying that because people really did relate to you. Sadly, they related to you.
I mean, I would really agree with
Yes,
that,
thank you.
Dan. I mean, I was really, t I mean, it was, I mean, I was really kind of emotionally affected. The switch, I mean, I guess we can all recognize that to lesser or greater extents, can't we? The masking.
Yeah, in ourselves.
In ourselves, yeah. Let me come to you, Rod. I mean, really powerful, your part. Can you just tell our listeners about your part and, about your role in the film?
Basically, the role in my film, I don't want to give much away because people get to see the actual
No,
what
that's
the film's
true.
about.
Yeah, well, as much as
But
you're happy
it's,
with, yeah.
yeah, like Dan said, it's like a nice metaphor. I would explain it even to the point of, without giving too much away, his relationship between the mime and Andrew is more or less like Jiminy Cricket and Pinocchio. Like I'm there as a helping like guardian angel, making sure he's okay and making sure he's fine. And but the actual at the beginning of the film, the audience are going to see the switch between how even with the music, like the beautiful music that Giovanna composed, She created these like very light up-tempo sort of music, and I'm performing and doing all the like, with the kids and children, and then out of the blue, everything just turns into Dan or Andrew, and I just basically there's a connection between us two that it continued for the whole film, and that basically showcases the yin and yang of emotions, basically, of human emotions where Dan is, you can say Dan is the dark side of what people feel in that state of mind. And the mime, you can actually see him, wearing the mask, and being very, very up and very light. So it's that switch between our relationship has been very yin and yang. And throughout the whole film, you can see that coming through between the mime and when a lot of people, when I've told them about coming into the premiere, like I explained to them, it's like it's not a comedy, by the way. It's more or less.
I'm glad you warned them.
It's like a lot of my friends who have kids now, they say like, oh, I can bring the kids. It's got so much fun. I've seen your videos on social media. They're like funny videos. It's like, no, wait a minute. Different type of mind. And it was really nice to tap into the darker side of the clown, because the mime and clowning is very much in tune of, the dark side of clowning, and how you can pull this like marvelous performance basically, but backstage could be a metaphor for Andrew or Dan. You can be completely horrified, having the worst day, but you have to put that face, that mask, like the mime, that with that white face, and put it on to the people, and to your friends, and to the co-workers, and to everybody else. And I'm pretty sure, coming back to Steve, what I've heard from him, from Giovanna, and a lot of people who actually met him, he was a very, very jolly person portraying. It must have been exhausting. It must have been exhausting for him to put that on and being that, for that amount of time, and then coming back and just, trying to, compose and try to his demons in his head. It would have been exhausting. Like I can actually say, some days when you're feeling like a big crook in my work as a performer, as a mime artist, some days you're feeling, you haven't slept properly, or you had a really busy day, but you have to put a show. I do a lot of corporate functions, and sometimes you've done like three shows a day, or like a kids show. You're feeling pretty exhausted by the last show for this event, but you have to go out there and put that, woo, that character, but you're completely, utterly exhausted. So I'm pretty sure that's what emotionally, I feel that what Steve went through for such a long time, like poor guy, but basically, that's, I mean, without giving too much away, that was basically what my character in relation to Andrew. It shows more the yin and yang of putting that mask on. And even the poster, you can actually see the poster. There's Andrew, and there's like the mime, and there's like the sunshine, and there's like a night mode.
Which Rob drew, by the way. I want to say Rob drew that
Amazing.
cover. What such a talented person. I cannot even say. His talent just doesn't end, really. So he, I said, can you kind of draw me something that's half of your face and half of Dan's faces, the characters, and make it look mental health-ish? Like, and so that's all I told him, make it look health-ish, and bang, he just did this amazing poster. I just cannot.
Well done, Rod.
Thank you.
You'd never want
Thank you
me
so much.
drawing your poster, that's for sure.
No, nor me.
And
I draw and paint, and I get visuals when Giovanna explained to me about the what she wanted in the poster. automatically I went to this like documentary that I watch on the making of the Incredible Hulk from the TV
Oh yeah,
series
yeah, yeah.
back in the 70s
Yes.
with Bill Bixby and Lou
Yeah, I
Ferrigno.
remember it.
Because there's a in the opening scene you can actually see when Bill Bixby sighs and goes, you can see Lou Ferrigno side of the face, and
Yeah.
he goes, "Ah!" And
Yes.
basically, what the opening sequence, it was meant to be like a Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Yeah, Dr.
Yeah,
Jekyll, Mr.
that's it.
Hyde,
Yep.
type of relationship. So I saw, yeah, like automatically, I thought, yeah, it would be like side by side, light and day. And
Yeah.
that's basically how. And when
Yeah.
I painted it, I started taking photos, and I said, I've got this visual in my head. I just gotta do it. And I did it within hours. It just took longer, mainly for the paint to dry. Otherwise, I would have done it quicker. And when I finished it, yeah, I'm glad Giovanna said. Otherwise, I would have gone,
Amazing.
oh,
It's
damn, yeah.
amazing. I've just
It
had it printed
is.
on my I've just had it printed in and framed and everything. It's I'm dying to put it up on my wall. It's but you know when I put Rod's character in there, because the movie is silent. I didn't mention the movie is an actual
I
it's a
was going to
silent
ask you
movie.
about, well, yeah, can I just interrupt you,
Yes.
Giovanni? Why did you
Because
decide
yeah.
to make it silent? I mean, it really worked. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The reason why I made it silent is because there's too much talking in the world, too many opinions, too much social media, too much this, too much that. Just block out the human voices. And I wanted the audience to be the narrators of the story. So Rod's character can actually be interpreted in different ways. And
Yes.
it's very interesting for me. I told people, when you watch the movie, please PM me, let me know how you narrated the story in your mind, because the way I wrote Rod's story
Yeah.
and character is even different to the way the actors have analyzed it and narrated it for themselves. And that's okay. I wanted to give the audience space to shape the relationship between the characters. I don't mind if that alters, that's fine. I don't mind what they think Rod is in the movie, you know? So it's something for the audience. I want them to think deeply and then have deep discussions after the movie. And
Which
that's
happened.
exactly what happened. Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, and they were just like all very excited to talk about how they analyzed the story and how they interpreted it and you
Yeah.
know, and then they all talked about,
Yeah.
yeah, I felt like that before. Like, you know, I showed my elderly parents the movie, and my mum, you know, English is her second language. So, you know, so the fact that there was no language in it was brilliant for her. And my dad was looking at Dan's character, and he told me stuff I never knew in about him. He's like, yeah, I went through a stage in my life where I felt like that too. Yep, I know exactly what he's thinking, you know. And my dad was kind of really bonding with his character, and I'm like, no, Dad, I don't want you to bond with this character. But I had no idea that he had experienced the
Yeah.
same thing
Yeah.
in the earlier days. So
And
it's
that
exactly
leads,
what I wanted.
yeah, and I just to kind of rewind a little bit and just to pick up on what you were saying, and also Giovanni, you were saying, yeah, as a viewer of the film, the interplay of the relationship, you know, between Andrew and the film, between Dan and Rod, I just thought was so powerful, and it's so layered and open to interpretation, you know,
Yes.
but I just thought it was really beautiful. You know, it was inspired, really, I think, to, you know, to have Rod in there doing mime, you know, as part of it. I mean, it's and it really does invite the people watching it to create their own narrative. I mean, my narrative is kind of similar to what you said, Rod. I thought it was Dan's kind of guardian angel. That was how I thought of it, but people would interpret it in different ways. I mean, let me just come to you then. If I just widen out the conversation a little bit in terms of masking. I mean, what do you, is it gendered, do you think? I mean, women and men both mask, you know, but I just wondered, do you think men are encouraged to do that more, would you say?
It's a great
This has been
question.
an interesting
Yeah.
topic.
Yeah.
Go, Dan.
You want me to answer you? Yeah,
Yeah,
yep.
I'll ask
Yeah,
you
go for
later,
it.
but yeah, but
Yeah,
what do you
perfect.
think, Dan? Yeah.
It's an interesting question to ask, Mark. It's sort of do both genders, put on a mask and cover up their happiness? Absolutely. But I think it's a lot easier for men to be the tough guy and hold in your emotions, and it's so much easier to chuck on that mask of, she'll be right and everything's fine. And yeah, your famous last words, I'm fine, like it's a lot. I would say it'd be a lot more common in males than females, because females are fantastic at expressing themselves and their emotions more and being more vulnerable, whereas a lot of men, feel, which is why campaigns like it's great to speak up and stuff that come out. It's promotes, men speaking their mind more and being
Does.
more open about their mental health. But I would definitely say, yeah, it's definitely much more common for males to put on the mask and cover up and pretend everything's fine when inside they're struggling,
Yeah,
for sure.
I think it's a really it's
everyone,
an
yeah.
interesting one. Yeah, because like I remember one day I was in the city with my family, my husband, my two kids when they were younger. And I said to my husband, oh, I've just got to go to the loo. We're in Myer in a big store. And so I went into the women's toilets. My husband and the kids were waiting outside. And I was in there for ages because, not because, I finished what I had to do ages ago. I just walked out, was washing my hands, and there was another woman there. And we just turned and just smiled and said hello. And then she said something. I think she said something like, oh gosh, I got the worst pain, today. And I go, oh, what's wrong? And she started telling me, and I started relating to her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope when that happens. And we just started like talking and talking. And then I walked out, and my husband goes, are you all right? What took you so long? I said, oh, I was just chatting to this lady. She goes, did you know her? I said, nah. And he goes, well, you just talked to a stranger for that long. I go, yeah, she was telling me she had a pain and I have the same pain. So I was just telling her, like things that she can do to help her. And he just found that mind-blowing that I could be in the toilet talking to an absolute stranger about a personal pain or bodily issue. He said, oh, we would never do, oh, we men would never do anything like
No.
that. And I'm like, well, there's your problem right there. But women do mask as well. I find with women, and I think a lot of women out there are going to understand this one, that we are very chatty and very blah, blah. We talk about everything. But when something is deeply, deeply bothering us, we like to hold that in because we need to, like to show that we're in control of things. The problem with women is this: we hold on and we build and we build and we build. Everything builds up, all the deep issues. And then later in life, it comes from the back of the brain, jumps to the front of the brain, and then we explode and we start talking about things that happened 10 years ago. And it still builds up like a volcano. So it happens, women mask as well, but not everything, probably not as much as men, probably more like
I can
more
actually say with myself
authentic.
as well. I come from Chile. I've got a South American background, and men don't express their emotions. Men don't cry. Men are just men. Men are tough. The male bravo. Women are, they're steady. They're the ones who cry. They're the ones who express emotion. They're the ones who talk about emotions. But the thing is that, especially in Chile, what I actually found with a lot of my relatives, male relatives, they have taken up drinking.
Trauma, big
There's a
yes.
lot of trauma happening right there, which males aren't encouraged to express their emotion. They're just always stoic, just get on with it. You did it, but it's a huge drinking problem, and it's higher in male. I mean, even myself, I'm very expressive, like naturally. Obviously, I'm an artist. I grew up in an environment where men don't cry, men don't express emotion, men don't talk about emotions. No. Men don't cook. Men don't didn't even do then household. But like men don't do household. It's women. That sort of environment, and I've seen that for men to be, you got to hold a lot. Women are a bit more, much more expressive, but it's nice hearing from a female point of view from Giovanna that they bring up, you know, but they finally let go of their emotions and bring up things from 10 years ago. But I grew up in a society where men, don't cry. You know, it's just basically.
Which is why the suicide rates in men is a lot higher than women.
Exactly. Or in my sort of, country that I actually found, they killed themselves slowly by drinking. So,
It's internalizing. Yeah, and you're quite right, Giovanna. I mean, it's not entirely gendered. You know, I mean, women will internalize. And we'll hold emotions. But just exactly what you said, Giovanna. You know, whether it is in a male way, whether it is a female, too much internalization will just explode at some point. That could be.
It's so true.
Months, it could be 1,000%. Years. It could be 40 years. You know. But it will explode, and this is, we're speaking very generally here, and I have to say that, but, for me, I think, generally, a big statement, but I don't know, I generally think women are better at asking for help, really. I mean, I know that's a general statement, but
I agree with you, though.
What do you think, Dan? Men find it hard 100%. To ask for help? Yeah.
They do, yeah. I think, it's sort of... I guess whether it's through the, the news or the movies we watch or the TV shows and the media, you see a lot of men just holding their emotions in and just, letting it build up and stuff. I mean, from a personal basis for me, I definitely used to hold it all in and stuff. And then I found things like meditation and, I started exercising is one of the best for the mental health and generally just communicating. And that is taking a leaf out of, like you say, I think females are just better communicators in their emotions and stuff. Surrounding yourself with that and learning from it and realizing that you actually feel better when you speak about how you feel. You know, that feeling of when you get stuff off your chest. It's a relief to it. And and then obviously, and then meditation helps with helping control your emotions as well. So, so that's sort of helped me over the years, but it's definitely, it's one of those things that's finally starting to crack through the seams, and men are discovering that it is okay to speak up and be heard and understood.
If you don't talk, the brain turns it into something worse than what. Because I also was a person that used to, I didn't like conflict. I love being happy and laughing, and so if something was bothering me, I never used to really bring it up because I didn't want the confrontation. But in my brain got dark because my brain would say, no, don't talk about it, because if you do, there's going to be a big fight and then he's going to divorce you or something. It just catastrophizes. Whereas now I've learned to just say, hey, that really upset me when you did that. And he'll be like, oh, I'm so sorry, sweetie. I didn't mean to do that. And he'll give me a big kiss and a hug. Yep, I know for next time. And I'm like, oh, is that how easy it is? It's actually a lot easier than holding it in for years. It's actually a lot easier to talk about it.
It's just damaging to hold it in. I mean, just to ask you, Giovanna, how do people, how do our listeners see the film? If our listeners are going to want to see the film, how do they do that?
Yes. It's going to be actually released on YouTube very soon. Okay. So at the moment, it's in a few film festivals. And then very soon, I reckon by about July, August, it's going to be on, if people go on, they can subscribe to Locked In Productions on YouTube and it will be out on that. So that's probably the best way. However, if people would like to see it earlier, they are very, very welcome to inbox me on Locked In Productions Facebook page. If they would like to see it, I will send them an exclusive link so they can still see it.
Right. Yeah, and I have to say, just to repeat myself, I've watched the film a number of times. I just thought it was beautiful, really. I mean, the more I watch it, the more layers I see, which I think is always a really good sign with a really fantastic piece of work. I mean, we're kind of coming up to time. It's gone really quickly. I just wonder whether there's anything, I mean, this is to all of you, really, anything that you would like to say before we end that I've not given you the opportunity to, about the film, about masking generally,
Rod, do you want to go first?
Okay, yeah, no, with me, especially, I felt such an honor being part of it when Giovanna approached me for the film. It was basically just an idea, silent film, and this and that. But the more I started learning about Steve, about what a wonderful person he was and what a great guy he was, from every single person that I've actually heard. I haven't heard anybody say it's basically very, very consistent, the compliments that I hear from Steve being such a wonderful guy. The more I felt the need to be part of this film. And also, the strange thing is, like, during the making of the film, I lost another colleague, James. And I met him. He was a MC, host of weddings and all this. And whenever I saw him, he was like this most uplifting guy. Even if he were feeling down, he would go, "Come on, man, yeah, let's do it. It's a great day." And unfortunately, he took his own life. So I thought, like, oh yeah, it's really necessary to pass this message across, because these mental health has somehow worsened with all the COVID
True.
lockdowns, changes in the world, changes in everything,
Financials.
relationships, financials. Now we've
Definitely.
got all these people hearing about the house crisis, it's just this turmoil that people are living through.
Definitely.
So I felt compelled. And I'm thanking with the bottom of my heart to Giovanna for allowing me to be part of this film, and with passing such a wonderful message, and also with both my performing and artwork, which I was able to give out to these to the world to see.
Yeah,
Thank
thank you,
you.
Rod. And let me just, before I kind of come to Giovanna to end, can I just ask you, Dan, is there anything you'd like to say as we kind of end?
I'd say if you have any I guess creatives that listen to your show, Mark, here's a message for them, and sort of the same thing I said to G. There's something truly beautiful about using your creativity in your space. Maybe you're an artist, a sculptor, or an actor like myself and Rod and G. There's something just truly beautiful about using your craft to be able to deal with the grief and emotion of losing someone special to you. So passing on that message, like I first did it when I lost my nan quite suddenly, very close with her, and I made this film, and there was a sense of letting go to it, and it, sort of dealing with it and knowing that they'd be proud to have been represented in a beautiful light and that. And so I will say, if you are a creative, definitely give that chance to using your craft to maybe, give an ode to them, or a beautiful send off like G's done with this film. And again, yes, just like Rod said, thanks G for giving me the opportunity to play, the beautiful man Steve was. And thank you as well, Mark, for, using your platform as a ability to
Yeah,
make people more aware
absolutely.
of mental health.
Thank you.
And everything that you do is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Dan.
1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, let me just come to you, Giovanna. I mean, what would you like to say as we end? What are your final
Yes,
thoughts?
firstly, I couldn't have, this movie couldn't have, happened if it wasn't for all the cast and crew, because, it's really important that I had to help, because it's such a heavy topic, I had to help protect the actor's emotional status as well, because
Sure, yeah.
that, like, yeah, you don't want to be, because it was very, it's very tough. It's very hard doing those topics. And so
Yeah.
everybody laughed. We made jokes between takes. We were clowning around, and that was such good sports. They knew, like, I knew that you guys knew that that was important, to do that in between. They just played along and made everything light. So thank you to all cast and crew. I could not have done this without them. They were just absolute troopers and very talented and amazing. Steve would have been so proud of you guys. But
And
also,
could
if anything,
I have a big shout out to your daughter? for creating such a beautiful song
Yes,
as well.
yes,
Gabrielle
Gabrielle.
Hammond.
Beautiful. Yeah, beautiful
Amazing.
music.
I tried to get her to sit here. She's in her room. I said, "Will you just put pick?" She goes, "No, that's too much pressure. I'm not doing that."
Yeah, no,
She
I
had
like
to
to give a shout out
try.
to Gabrielle
This
for making
yeah,
such
I
a
cannot
beautiful
tell
song.
you.
It suited, it just suited the
22-year-old
whole
old.
ending of the film. Yeah.
She
Yeah.
honestly, she's such a shy child. You know, she's always been shy, 22-year-old. And I just said to her, "Gabby, do you mind making me a little poem?" You know, she's a very deep thinker, very good at writing poems. And I said, "Can you just write me a poem and I'll turn it into a song?" Lo and behold, she writes this amazing piece of music. She sings it as well, playing guitar. And I'm like, "Who's the singer?" She goes, "That's me." I'm like, "What do you sing? What on earth?" I didn't even know she could sing. So there you go.
Yeah.
So I ended up recording her and did the instrumentals. And so, yeah, I'm so honored that she even participated because she's not into performing arts whatsoever, but she's very
I even told
talented.
her on the on the screening of the film. I even spoke
Yeah,
to Gabrielle and said to
Gabrielle.
her, "You should open up like a Spotify, create more songs." And she was like, "Oh, really?" Yeah, so shy about it. Yeah.
Like, yeah, performing horrifies
I
her. Let me tell you,
don't
to record her,
know. She's great. I
she was
don't
an
know what's
absolute
wrong with her.
pain. She was an
Yeah.
absolute pain to work with. She wouldn't let me be in the studio. Which it's impossible to record that way.
Wow.
But she's like, "Get out. I need you to go shopping. Get out of the house." You know, I wasn't even allowed to be in the house for her to record. I had to teach her the buttons to press, which it was a nightmare. But anyway, she did an amazing job. But the thing I do want
Did.
to say to the audience members out there, which is so important, if Steve has reiterated anything, it's to stay connected to loved ones. Because Steve was able to stay alive his whole life because he said he had dark thoughts his whole life. But what stopped him from harming himself was the connections that he had with the outside world. Filming saved his life, you know, the connections with like-minded people, creating, you know, doing all this fun stuff kept him alive. And COVID lockdowns blocked him from every single thing in his life. And that shows how important connections are. So, as Dan said, get into your hobbies, go fishing, you know, make a group. Like Dan does this hiking club, which I think I always refer people to this hiking group, like people who are lonely or they don't have many people in their lives. Go and, you know, look up your council website. They've always got community groups, they've always got groups of some type, and, you know, get connected because that can save your life.
Yeah, and that is,
100%.
I think, the perfect place to end. And I just want to thank you all, Rod, Dan, Giovanna. It's been
No,
so
thank you so
lovely
much for
to
having us.
nice,
Thank you.
it's lovely
Yeah.
to
Yes,
meet you
thank you
both
so
and to see
much.
you again. Thank you
Same to you,
for coming
mate.
on the show. And to all our listeners, you know, I'd really, really would urge you to see the film. It's at the say it's beautiful, sad. I mean, it brings up a lot of emotions, but it is a really, really beautiful piece of work and very important. So thank you. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
you. Yeah.
And again, I just want to thank Giovanna, Rod, and Dan for coming on the show to talk about the excellent film, Giovanna's latest film project, Mask of Darkness. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, but suffice to say, you know, I would really, really recommend our listeners seek it out. As Giovanna said, it will be available on some forums. Check out our show notes and check out our social media sites for more information. It was an absolute pleasure to talk about the film. I loved the film. I'm gonna not give away any spoilers, but I just found it to be incredibly powerful. And it came, as Giovanna explains in the interview, you know, from the, you know, the tragedy of losing a friend. So from a very, very powerfully personal place. I thought the acting was fantastic. The film is, you know, beautiful and sad and tragic. You know, this it's a real whirlwind, you know, of emotions, and really multi-layered. I mean, I have to say, you know, each time I've watched a film, I've kind of got more, I've seen more layers. I mean, it is very, very kind of layered, and it does leave, I think, as Dan said or Rod said, I think it does leave the viewer, you know, space to kind of create their own narrative which I think is also very, very powerful. Really nice to have Giovanna on the show again. As I said previously, Giovanna kindly came on and talked about mental health films. Her work as, you know, a counsellor on TV, and also her job as a critical incident counsellor. That was in season four, and that was also a great interview. Giovanna has become a real friend to the show, so really, really great to have her on, and fantastic to be able to promote, you know, her latest film. Got a lot of great guests coming up. I'll talk about those more later. Not long to wait, though. I hope to put the next podcast out in a couple of weeks. As I always say, possibly too repetitively, if you are listening to the podcast, please do subscribe. Subscriptions help us a great deal. And thank you, as always, for listening. And do look after yourselves, look after each other, and look after the planet. And I'll see you soon on the next episode. Thanks again for listening to the show. If you have been affected by any of the topics on this show or any other of our shows, if you're in the UK, then please reach out. Samaritans can be contacted on 116 123. Now, the GP is also a good source of contact and can be the gateway for, you know, counselling services and other mental health support. Reach out to your mental health support team, mental health first aider, or trusted friend, colleague, or family member. We have a lot of international listeners. So if you're listening from a non-UK country, then please reach out to, you know, your country's healthcare and mental health care providers. And remember, it's okay not to be okay.
Hashtag Psycho